His grace, His mercy, His peace be with you. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, right before Jesus heals a number of people, this is the end of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells a parable. That's interesting because Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, is mostly instruction. It's mostly Jesus redefining what it means to be his follower. Jesus tells a parable about a wise man and a foolish man. The wise man builds his house on the... Don't make me sing this to you. The foolish man builds his house on the sand. And obviously, Jesus is not teaching us building techniques here. There's something else going on, and that's the question, isn't it? The wise man builds his house on the teachings of Jesus Christ. And after three chapters of Jesus redefining the Old Testament law and clarifying the Old Testament law, Jesus is essentially saying, here is my teaching, build your life on this. Why? Because the storms are coming. And people who build their lives on the opinions of the world, people who build their lives on the ideas of the world, when the pain and suffering of the world comes, their houses collapse under the weight of the storms. It is only when you build your house on Jesus Christ, it is only when you build your house on the rock that you and I can face the storms of this life with any confidence at all. And the foundation upon which we build? Dogma. Pastor Bard, nobody uses the word dogma anymore. That's precisely why we are today, in hopes that you might remember something other than it's Father's Day and you're going to Fish Daddy's in an hour and a half. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, meaning the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit dwells with you, and he will be, come the day of Pentecost, in you. Jesus is saying these words hours before he is crucified. And again, from the gospel reading, John 14, if anyone loves me, Jesus said, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. How intimate, dear ones, is that? Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Dear ones, for three generations, Americans have said to one another that it really doesn't matter what we believe. You can believe what you want, you can say what you want, as long as you believe it earnestly, as long as you believe it deep down in your heart, it becomes truth to you. For you hippies, you know who you are. John Lennon sang this, imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try. For those of you boomers, Oprah Winfrey comes along, and what does she say? You Christians are too narrow-minded. There are many ways to God. There are many paths to heaven. If you need something a little more modern, Luke Bryan. I believe in his song, he says, I believe you can love who you want to and it's no big deal. And then he goes on to say, I believe all people are essentially good. True or false, Lutherans, all people are essentially good. Yeah, you and I started worship by saying to Pastor Eden, I am a poor, miserable sinner. Or something along those lines. But you hear it. Drip, drip, drip. The teachings, the opinions, the doctrine of the world. And the overarching idea is it doesn't matter what you believe, and we have taken this to absurdity. Now, a man can get up in the morning and go, you know, I'm not feeling so masculine today. Today, I'm going to be a girl. And the world goes, guess what? He's a girl today. Pastor Bard, are you anti-trans? No. I'm pro-common sense. How did we get to where we are today? This is how we got. The world has preached to us now for 3 generations. Believe what you want. Doctrine does not matter. Ideas do not matter. It is all about how you feel about yourself. Which means all over America every day, men wake up singing the old Patti Page song, I feel pretty, oh so pretty, I feel pretty and witty and wild. Come on, I worked on this all week. This is the absurdity of the doctrine of the world. That whatever you believe about you is true. And nothing could be more false. Doctrine matters to us. It does matter. Because there is no hope in our intellect. There is no hope in human logic. There is no hope in the depravity of human reason or human opinion. Those are the sands upon which the world builds their house. You are called to the privilege of building your house on the rock, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. This is the one Sunday you and I are solely focused on a single doctrine. Trinity. Trinity and unity and unity and Trinity. It almost sounds so repetitive that you could say, my goodness, what does this mean? Or how does this matter to me? Does this even matter to us, Pastor Bard? Oh my goodness, it does, dear ones, because in Trinity, you and I see God's overwhelming love. In Father, in Son, in Holy Spirit. I think, my brother, you and I are given to talking about God's love through Jesus Christ. But today we're reminded that God shows his love to us in all 3 of his persons. Because I don't have all afternoon to lecture, we go quickly. God the Father shows his love by something he does and something he does not do. What he does is he creates you. What an act of love, right? And you hear it in the words of creation. You also, by the way, get the divine plural. Let us make man in our image. Is God schizophrenic? No, he's triune. That's why you get the us there. And what does he do? But he makes men and women for the purpose of fellowship, for the purpose of having friends, for the purpose of having people to love. Dear ones, creation is an action that proves God's love to you and me. That's what he does that shows his love as God the Father. But there's also something he doesn't do. He doesn't immediately condemn you or me to eternal damnation. That's what he should have done. As soon as he realized Adam and Eve had sinned, what God should have done is he should have looked at this and said, well, that's an experiment that really didn't work. And he should have wadded the whole thing up and thrown it away and started over. It's what you and I do. Guys, you know when we're doing a woodworking project and already you can tell it's not going to be very good. What do? We put it in the garage. It collects dust till we die. And then our children look at it in the garage and say, what was Dad thinking? On Father's Day, let me help you. Your dad was thinking, there is no way on God's green earth I can fix that poor woodwork. So I'm going to curse my kids with it. Why doesn't he condemn us immediately and start over? Because he looks at you, he looks at Adam and Eve with eyes of overwhelming love, compassion. And this is what drives him to send the Son. This is what the Father does because he loves you. This is what the Father does because in reality, dear ones, the Father cannot stand the idea of eternity without you. And the Father is already grieved by the billions he will not spend eternity with, and he is absolutely desperate. So he sends the Son, Jesus Christ, to bear your sin and my sin, to take our sin to the cross, to die our deaths. This Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son, proves his love for you at the cross. And this in and of itself is an overwhelming thing, because so often we forget who Jesus is. We just look at him, right, as a man, and yet you and I just confessed in the Athanasian Creed. By the way, somebody today is going to look at Pastor Eden and somebody else is going to look at me and they're going, why don't we do the Athanasian Creed once a month? Because that took 17 minutes, which is about the same amount of time you give us to preach up here. So do it in your daily devotions. See how long that lasts. But who is the Son? Lest we forget, he's the Word made flesh who dwells among us. He is, as the Scripture says, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one who is dead and is alive again. He is the Son of Mary and the Son of God. He is the Word made flesh, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the great I am. He told Mary and Martha, he is the resurrection and the life. Yahshua Christon, the saving one, the Messiah. And he comes to this earth to do what? For the sole purpose of dying. Every Christmas, Pastor Eden or I stand in this little box and we remind you that all the green and all the red and all the lights and all the presents and all the food finds its purpose because the one born loves you so much, he's born to die. Every knee will bow on the last day, every tongue will confess on the last day that this Jesus Christ is Lord, and yet he loves you so much, he comes to stand in your place. God the Father's love in creating and not destroying, God the Son's love to you in bearing your sin to the cross, God the Spirit's love indwelling in you. Did you catch the words in the text? In the gospel reading today? Where Jesus says to the disciples, again, hours before he is crucified, the Father and I are going to come and we're going to live with you. There's nothing about that that makes me comfortable. The Almighty God who has created everything and his Son Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, are going to come and live with us. I don't know about you, but I need to clean. And yet we talked about this last week, didn't we? Pentecost. The Spirit of the living God comes to live in our hearts and in our minds. Not to berate us. Not to condemn us. Not to keep track of our sins, which he so could. But to convert us into little Jesuses. He is the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Advocate, the Helper. He is the Sanctifier, the one who comes to convict us of our sins and then lead us out of our sins into a life for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the voice in your head when you are tempted that says to you, this would not please the Lord God. The Holy Spirit is God's presence, the Father and the Son, working in all who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Pastor Barr, does this matter? Does this Trinity matter? It does. Because this is what you build your life on. This is the foundation. Because you have seen dozens of people. In fact, you may know dozens of people who have built their lives on the sand. And when any little sort of thing comes, what happens to their life? They say platitudes to one another. It will get better. Things will have to turn. There's a silver lining in every cloud. You're strong. You'll be okay. All of those are lies. And I am forbidden by the Board of Elders from cussing from this box anymore. But all of that is a big pile of you know what. Because the reality is it might not get better. Your reality is you might never get over your grief. Your reality is your body may never heal. Your reality may be that you might have to live with your loneliness and your heartache and your sorrow. But when your life is built on the rock, whatever storms may come, this Jesus Christ will hold you up. We see that in the Trinity, all three persons, God's love abundant. It's Father's Day. Most of my memories of my dad are business memories. If I have any business sense at all, is because Roland Bard poured it into my empty head. And he and I didn't have very many spiritual discussions. That was much more my mom and the pastors in my life. But I remember being a little boy after a Sunday just like this. Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Dallas Marsh Lane, for those of you who know the DFW Metroplex. Still there, still going strong. On a Trinity Sunday, and I asked my dad on the way home, Dad, what's Trinity? Randy. That means that God shows himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, when you're six, you want to know more. And you expect your dad to know more. And I remember saying, Daddy, what's that mean? And my dad said, Randy, I don't know. Well, that's not helpful. See, I've been sarcastic since I was little. But I do remember him saying, Randy, that's all we can say, because if we say anything more about it, we fall into error. But we know this. In Trinity, God shows us in Father, in Son, in Holy Spirit, His overwhelming love for us. And He calls us to build our houses on Him. His grace, His peace, His mercy be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.